Reserve Bank released the composite leading business cycle indicator, which rose by 2.6% in July compared to June. 8 out of 10 of the components assessed registered a positive reading, with 2 a negative reading, one of which was the number of job advertisements put out in the marketplace. This latest reading suggests that the economy's fortunes could improve over the next 6 to 12 months, but given the kind of economic impacts yielded from the COVID-19 experience, I suppose this is not much of a surprise. Well, to unpack this data for us, I'm joined on the line by Mike Schüssler. He's chief economist at economist.co.za. Thanks very much for joining us, Mike. In principle, what is it that the composite leading business cycle indicator seeks to communicate to the market?
It seeks to give us an idea as to how the economy is going to perform in about 9 to 12 months' time. So if we look at this being the July number, it's still 4.2% down on a year ago, but it has picked up, and we've seen since May, we've seen an improvement in the leading indicator. But the problem is that a lot of the stuff from the leading indicator is going to be very, very difficult to put back into the real economy at the moment, because COVID and the lockdown has, you know, impacted South Africa very differently. So, for example, yes, new car sales are still important, but what does the commodity price index mean? Are we reacting to that commodity price rising or falling as we would before, because the mines are perhaps not working at full steam? But nonetheless, it is showing an upward shift. And I think that's a little bit of a silver lining in a dark cloud, if I can call it that.
Yeah. Is the lead indicator data pretty much like other pieces of data, in that it's not a good idea to read them on a month-on-month basis or in isolation, and rather to look at the developing trend?
Yeah, I think it's important to look at the trend. And I'm like using the leading indicator to give me an idea as to the next, say, 6 to 12 months from now. And if it's still negative, as we have here, although it's up, it does tell me that the economy in around 12 months' time would not have fully recovered. And I think that's what we all in the marketplace feel in one way or another. We can argue about the percentages, and yes, we all know that the economy will have grown since, you know, particularly since the second quarter of this year. But it says to me that the recovery in a year's time, July next year, will not be a full recovery yet.
Yeah.
And the coincident indicator is showing that we're still 32% down on a year ago, and that's where the economy is now. And in a year's time, we'll be down about 4%. So that's still, you know, it's an improvement. Let's put it that way. I wouldn't look at it and say it's going from minus 32 to minus 4, but it says we do expect an improvement, but not a full recovery. That's the way I would read it.
Yeah. With no disrespect intended to the Reserve Bank, what is the usefulness of this data right now? Given the fact, like you say, that the economy has been so badly hit, you can't really anticipate where we're going to be next year.
Well, I think it's important to say, under normal circumstances, if everything was going well, and there are indicators here that would give you an indication of, for example, business confidence and plans approved. But the point is, even the plans approved right now, you can approve a plan, but if you're still a bit skitterish, you might, you know, not build in the next 6 months. You might build in year two. But I think it still has value. It says to me, behind the curtain, this is what's happening. And I think that's an important thing, because right now that COVID curtain is giving us a very narrow view and a very close view. And we're probably all a bit too negative. But we probably need to, you know, look in the future. Things will hopefully have improved, and the chances are that they will improve, but again, not fully.
Mm.
So we're going to be, say, still a few percentage points away from where we were in 2019. But we are at least going to be a lot stronger next year, I think. It's just an order of magnitude. I don't know, you know, how relevant all these things will be. But I think the Reserve Bank has got to keep publishing this.
Yes.
It is important. And you don't stop something because of a COVID thing. No indicator, none was made to deal with a COVID. And,
true.
You know, there's none. That's it.
Yeah, no, indeed. So one of the negative measurements that I mentioned is the slow percentage increase in job advertisements published specifically in the Sunday Times. And I suppose the most worrying is, you know, the job ads component, because it's suggestive of businesses holding back on hiring new people. And of course, COVID-19 will have impacted on, you know, organizations' budgets. But also, you know, Sunday Times is sort of, you know, for your upper middle class. What about all the other jobs that don't necessarily get advertised for in the Sunday Times?
Yeah, I think, you know, it'll probably be worse than the Sunday Times jobs, because we've seen where the banks have take-home pay index, we're not meant to measure jobs, but we've seen where the jobs have gone. And it's the casual jobs, the weekly jobs, they're not the Sunday Times jobs, as you point out. So I think they need to look at maybe, let's call it a broader indicator of pick five or six big internet agencies, ask them to supply you with a number of jobs that they have every month, and to start making a time series of that, because we are moving away from the paper world. And that means that the Sunday Times is probably a little bit overtly negative on the technology side, if I can call it that. And I think, but you're right, you know, the big thing is the Sunday Times is looking at the boss's job. It's not looking at your job, and
that's
it's
right.
Not looking at the secretary's job. And those are the jobs that have been really under pressure. I mean, today again, I've heard of people that were mechanics and that now working from home because the business went bust. And, you know, so the job adverts, I think, are going to be far and few between in the sort of middle market and lower market. There's no doubt in my mind that we've seen big declines there. We don't know how big, but it could be as big as 15-20% in those markets, and
yeah,
that's huge.
Very quickly, Mike, we're expecting this economic recovery plan. Speaking to Annabel Bishop of Investec, she was saying enough of plans already. Let's see some implementation. But, you know, one is going to come out. What are you hoping will be in that plan?
Well, I think that the government starts introducing less rules in the market, and it realizes that it is not the economy. We've got a private economy that's contracted 25%, and I'm talking about the non-financial private sector contracted 25% on a year ago, the total economy only 17%. The reason is that the government was still growing 0.6%. So we need less government and more private sector. We know that the private sector is more sustainable, and it needs to come to the party there. I think we need a plan from government how they're going to cut the huge wage bill, and implementation from the government, and less rules and regulations.
Mm.
I don't. Also, I want to agree 100% with Annabel. Every economist that you speak to will tell you how many plans we've been in the market, say, for a decade, how many plans we've all had. And when they go to the kids at university, they dig up the plans, the RDP and the GEAR, and they teach them about them and so on. And, you know, the full implementation of any plan has not happened. And that is the problem. And then we go to another roundtable and another roundtable and another roundtable. Our problem is implementation. It's simple as that. We have very little implementation. I think most economists, no matter what persuasion, will tell you that plans have not been implemented in South Africa.
Yeah. On that simple note, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much, Mike. That was Mike Schüssler. He's chief economist at economist.co.za.